This is where the DJ talks. Don't say anything.
Okay.
Each of these media creates a new environment. It creates a new situation for human association and human perception. Any medium at all creates a new pattern, a new atmosphere, a new environment of human perception, which works upon the whole man. It works upon the whole society. That is the effect of a medium. It has that total pervasive effect. That is the message, that social change that is brought about. The content of the medium is never the message, because the content is all to the old medium.
From the vast wilds of the Great White North for the week of September the 19th, 2016, it's TVA, a Canadian perspective on television from north and south of the 49th parallel. I'm Anthony Marco.
And I'm Greg David.
And we would like you to put your television on mute for episode 212 of TVA, the podcast. You know what that means, Greg?
Is it a palindrome?
It's the palindromic wonder for TVA.
Excellent.
For those of you who don't know what that means, the palindrome, on a different podcast that I do, whenever I hit a number that is the same forwards to backwards, I use the same rules as the word palindrome: a man, a plan, a canal, Panama, being one of the most famous palindromes.
Nice.
You ever heard that one before?
No.
That was actually created to pitch the Panama Canal when they wanted to spend millions of dollars at the time to build it, which was like a long, long time ago.
Yeah.
So they actually, that was what they came up with, their clever use of palindrome to pitch the concept to the American people, because they mostly funded it, right?
Yeah.
It was a man, a plan, a canal, Panama.
Wow. Okay.
Pretty sweet, eh?
That is pretty sweet.
So there you go. So it is a palindromic episode, needless to say.
All right.
As you heard in the last episode, Diane is stepping back from the TVA website, and so she will not be regular here on the podcast anymore, but we may have her on occasion when she's got her beverages built up again.
Yes, when we need a special guest during sweeps.
Yes, exactly, during sweeps.
We'll do some stunt casting.
Wow. What if we got someone else to play Diane?
Oh, that would be, wouldn't that be intriguing, especially if it was a guy? We'd maybe get Dennis Heaton or...
It'd be like Bewitched.
Yeah, it would.
What? That's just crazy talk. I'm liking it more and more. So we have a bunch to talk to you about this week. We got a bunch of links. We've got, you know what? Let's mention this right off the top because everyone's talking about it right now. Tatiana Maslany winning the Emmy last night for Best Actress.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. I was talking to some people last Friday and kind of going over the Emmy picks. And I didn't even think that she was going to win. I kind of said that it was nice that she was being nominated. But I think I'm not the first person to say that that Orphan Black, while it's a great show and a groundbreaking show and a Canadian show, it's kind of down on the downslope, especially now that we know that this upcoming fifth season is the last one. I honestly think that she should have been nominated in the first couple of seasons and won. But, that's fine. She still won. Best Female in a Drama Series and beat out some pretty heavy hitters in that category.
Indeed.
Do you want to go over some of them?
Sure. If you have the list in front of me, I don't have the list in front of me.
I'm looking for my list. List in front of me.
I'll see if I can pull it up on the screen. Let me see here.
Isn't this horrible? I'm drawing a total blank.
Oh, hang on for a sec. No, they're just showing
Empire, female actress from Empire, House of Cards, Robin
Wright.
So
that had to be Robin Wright.
Robin Wright Penn.
Or Robin Wright these days. Yes. I don't know what she's called.
Yes, she's not a Penn anymore. Yes. Wow. See, we were unprepared for her to win,
suffice to say, she won.
She won, and it was about time.
But here's the thing, with regards to Orphan Black, season one and two, I loved.
Yes.
Season three, yeah, I could have left it.
Yes.
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan. But last season, I really, really liked.
I really liked last season too. I thought that the show got back into its groove. So there you go. I mean, there's a reason why she won. Still a shock. A shock. Like I said, people didn't expect it.
It's still, no matter how much you love the show, it's still an incredibly small show.
Yes.
And maybe not as small as Transparent is, which is now the second straight season that's won,
mm-hmm.
you know, an award for being on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still a very small show. The only Emmy for BBC America last night.
Yeah. So. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
But there you go. Congratulations. You know, born of a career in Canadian television and film. I think it is that time though, Greg. We skipped over it. We jumped to the Emmy win because we felt we had to mention that off the top. After the beverage update, we're going to mention a little bit about the big event that's going on the TVA website now, which is the auction. Mm-hmm. But before we talk about all that, I believe it's time to talk about the beverage update. And things have obviously opened up in the long term now that that Diana's gone. If you are drinking anything other than your traditional apple cider, you may give me a run for the money. I'm not sure.
Well, tonight I'm drinking white milk.
Wow.
Skim milk because I made some chocolate
chip. Sorry, is it skim or partially skim?
Skim. It is skim. It's 0% fat. And wow. two things. One of them is I made some chocolate chip cookies yesterday. So yes. I have some chocolate chip cookies. So I'm going to be hitting mute on my microphone while I eat and drink.
So I'll say this much. We have talked in the past about the fact that while snacks don't count.
Yes.
The addition of snacks, if it helps to make the beverage sound better,
right,
then by itself the beverage can sound better.
Right.
Yes.
Right. And now I was feeling very badly. I had to look this up. Before I go into the rest of my beverage, Tatiana Maslany beat Claire Danes from Homeland, Viola Davis from How to Get Away with Murder, Taraji P. Henson from Empire, Kerry Russell from The Americans, and Robin Wright from House of Cards. Now, going into this, if someone had put a gun to my head, I would have said probably Claire Danes or Kerry Russell were going to walk away with the award. So there you go. All right. Now, back to the drink update. So Dennis Heaton posted something on Facebook the other day that totally skeeved me out. He mentioned the fact that chocolate milk that you buy at the store, like already in the bag, has blood in it, or it's the milk that has to be masked by its color because there's blood in it. I don't even know if that's true, but it totally grossed me out. So that's why I'm drinking skim milk. I would have been drinking chocolate milk, and I guess I still can if I use white milk and put the Quick in it. But yeah, I don't even know if it's true, but it grossed me out enough that that's why I'm having white milk instead of chocolate.
Now, I actually had a conversation with my partner about a week ago about the origins of chocolate milk mix.
Okay.
And we're certainly not old enough to know the original origins, like all the way back to like Ovaltine and Bosco or whatever the heck it
is. No, I was the powder with the Quick powder growing up.
It was
up.
The powdered Quick, yep. Yes. And you could get the powdered chocolate Quick or the strawberry
yes.
Quick. And then somewhere along that time, I forget, there was one that I can't remember, but there was the beginning of the syrup wars.
Mm-hmm.
Brown Cow was an early one.
Yeah, I remember Brown Cow.
But I don't remember, there was one before that, before Quick started doing it. And there was one before that, and I forget who it was. But because what you would end up with was this powdered globule mess at the bottom of your cup, because you would always put too much chocolate in, you wouldn't stir it enough.
Yes. Yes, that was the way it was for me when I was a kid growing up but I kind of like that. I kind of like the floating blobs of the powder because it was wet on the outside, but it was still dry on the inside because the milk hadn't gone into it. So I kind of like that.
If you had milk right now with the floating blobs in it, I would just give up right now.
Jeez, that was,
just out of nostalgia alone.
Yeah, now I want that. Hershey's made chocolate syrup as well, right?
I think they did, but the first thing I remember Hershey's – wow, we're going down a rabbit hole here. The first thing I remember Hershey's making in that form, Hershey's made – and I don't know if they were the first to make it. They made a coating for ice cream that would harden when you poured it on.
Yes.
Yes.
And you'd crack it.
Yes. And that was the pitch on the commercial, I think.
That's right.
You would whack your food on the top.
Yeah, and they sweeten the sound so it sounded like cracking bones when it was really exactly. – it never really sounded like that. All right.
That's all to embellish your skim milk, by the way.
Skim milk and chocolate chip cookies. What are you drinking tonight?
So tonight I've gone back to the bourbon.
Yes.
I don't know if you can tell in my voice. I'm just getting over kind of not a full cold, but congestion.
Okay.
And so I'm my voice is kind of yeah. And so I thought I'd enjoy myself a bourbon this week. So I've got a Jim Beam shot glass in front of me because I didn't have a tumbler downstairs. And I'm enjoying a little sip of Rebellion Bourbon.
Mm.
Rebellion Bourbon, which is actually made or produced by a winery, or I don't know if they produce it or just market it. However, so it's an independent, like it's not like it's Jim Beam or Buffalo Trace or any of the big ones. However, I do have a Sam Elliott tasting notes prepared for Rebellion Bourbon.
Please.
Rich in color and flavor. A soft, sweet mouthfeel with distinct flavors of ripe red cherries, hints of vanilla, honey, and syrup is offset by a complex, fleshy palate. Nuts, dried apricots, and toasted grains combine in a broad, sweet finish.
Fleshy palate? I didn't exactly. Like that.
A complex, fleshy palate, by the way.
I don't get that. What does that even mean?
I guess like fruit flesh, maybe?
Oh, okay.
Although, who knows?
Yeah.
All I know is I think the title of the episode, by the way,
yeah,
might be Sweet Mouthfeel and Fleshy Palate.
Yeah, I think so. It should be.
I don't know what people will think if they just ever start to dig deep into our episode titles, but we'll find out. So how's the auction going, Greg?
The auction's going very well, thank you. If you go to tv-eh.com, there's a clickable link at the very top that says auction, and you click on that, and that'll take you to the auction page, funnily enough. And it's been going for a week. Started it last Monday, and we got some fantastic items. People have been bidding like crazy. We've got a Killjoys Season 1, Episode 1 script signed by creator Michelle Loretta, and a t-shirt signed by actors Aaron Ashmore and Luke McFarland. We've got a couple of Saving Hope scripts signed by the cast. We've got some couple of cookbook sets in there. We've got a Corner Gas watch and signed script in there. We've got different packages from CBC involving X Company swag and earbuds. We've got a Mr. D package of a jacket, a windbreaker, and a knapsack. We've got, if you're a fan of the Much Music Video Awards, we've got a wristband for next year's Much Music Video Awards. Murdoch Mysteries set visit.
Do you have to wear it from now until the video?
No, sir. No, thank you. That's a good question. No, you'll get a PDF and some contact information of the fine folks at Much that will hook you up. We also have a Murdoch Mysteries set visit and walk on roll. We've got an Orphan Black set visit, but not walk on roll, but that's particularly hot now. People are starting to bid on that like crazy because, of course, it's Emmy winning.
Exactly.
Show, Orphan Black. And also, we've got notes on a script. Out in the West Coast, it's Dennis Heaton, who has been, who's a friend of the website, and recorded, I think, the first ever TV ABC's podcast with you.
I believe so. I think it was the first.
Yeah, one. Yeah. So there's, he will take a look at your script and give you notes over Skype, or if you live in the Vancouver area, he will sit down with you and over coffee, or maybe even something stronger. He mentioned
maybe even a skim milk,
maybe a skim milk or a chocolate milk. If you're living here in the Toronto area, Shelley...
Or as they call it at a bar, the bloody chocolate milk.
Ew. If you live in the Toronto area, Shelley Erickson, who's an executive producer on Private Eyes most recently, but she's also worked on Continuum and a couple of other fantastic, actually many fantastic shows. She's doing the exact same thing here in the East Coast, so you can bid on that. We have also got, we're going to be talking about this show in a couple of minutes, a new series on space called Aftermath. So we've got some signed scripts by Anne Heche and James Tupper. If you're a Blue Jays fan, we've got some great swag from Dennis McGrath, some bobbleheads, signed baseballs, an Edwing t-shirt. And there's also a night out with Canadian TV writers in Toronto. So if you want to hang out with two or three Canadian writers, have a few drinks, maybe press them on the whole CRTC thing. And finally, pilot episode script of X Company that is up for bids as well. So lots of stuff there. If you're a fan of Canadian TV, if you're a fan of the Canadian TV industry, there's something there for you. So yeah, go to the website, bid. We're not going to record before the end of the bidding, but the bidding, the auction closes next Friday, the 30th.
You mean you don't have Win a Date with Greg David?
No, no, no. See, I wouldn't be able to give that away for free.
Oh, come on.
Hey, but...
I just want a picture of you on the front of Tiger Beat.
Sure you do. But if you want to hang out with me on October the 1st, This news just came down today. We were waiting for confirmation, but CBC is going to be holding an event called Unlock Murdoch. It's called Unlock the Mysteries of Murdoch, the Ultimate Insider Conference.
Well, they've been doing this for the past couple of years, right?
In different forms. Yeah, this is, well, they've been doing this out at the set. This is the first time, though, that they're doing something down at the CBC. So it's a free ticketed event from 1:30 until 6 at the Broadcast Center here in Toronto. And if you, Murdoch Mysteries at veritasinc.com, you can get free tickets. And I'm going to be moderating I think it's going to be up to 4 panels. I'm going to be doing a Q&A with the cast. I'm going to be doing a Q&A with the writers. I'm also going to be doing a Q&A with the some of the behind-the-scenes folks that do wardrobe and the props. And I'm also going to be doing an in-conversation with Yannick Bisson. And we're also going to watch the first episode, the season premiere episode of season 10 of Murdoch Mysteries, which is going to be of The Great Fire of Toronto. So go to Murdoch Mysteries at veritasinc.com. You can get a couple of wristbands or some free tickets. Come on down and see me.
Well, there you go. Now, do we get to use any of that content?
Absolutely. I've already asked my friend. I'll be recording it all for podcasts.
There you go. I like that.
Yes. Evergreen content.
Exactly. So there you go, folks. Win a date with Greg.
Yeah. Be in the same room as me.
Oh, well, you know, the bids will skyrocket just on that alone.
Sure they will.
So we do have, it is that time, folks, to talk about the calendar. I still love it.
I know.
This week, a little bit slow, admittedly, on the calendar. The season finale of Degrassi Next Class is tomorrow night, the 20th, on Family, the Family Channel. And I don't know what, I haven't heard anything much during the season.
No, Family Channel here in Canada, Netflix for the rest of the world. This is the season 2 finale that's taking place on Tuesday night. It's already been renewed for seasons 3 and 4, and again they'll be on Family Channel and on Netflix. So this show is, you know, if we remember briefly, it had been killed and now it's back from the dead and has.
I think it's been
more
killed many, many times actually.
Oh yes, it has, and it always comes back stronger than ever.
It's like the zombie show. It's Canada's zombie show, basically. You just can't kill it. You can't, unless you chop the head off, which no one seems to be able to do.
Yeah.
Exactly. Nothing really after the, because a lot of the Canadian television shows aren't really starting up till October.
Right.
On the major networks, anyway.
Yes, yes.
So coming up this Sunday on the 25th, we have a couple of debuts. Mind you, of HGTV Canada shows. One's called Moving the McGilvery's.
Yeah, that's Scott McGilvery, who hosts a longtime show on HGTV Canada called Income Properties, where he helps folks renovate a floor of their house so that they can use it as an income property. And this time around, he and his family are renovating a house for themselves. So it's all about the drama that goes on behind the scenes. And he's also... It's more of a reality show, because not only is it showing him, he and his family, renovating their own house, but he's also helping out Habitat for Humanity while he builds homes for other people. And he's also a public speaker, so they'll follow him around to his public speaking events as well. It's been almost a year that this house has been under renovation. They're still filming it as the show is debuting.
I know what that feels like, brother.
Yeah, there you go, right? Yeah, there you go. So, that'll be on the 25th on HGTV Canada. And then following up right after that is Brian Inc., and that's Brian Baumler, another mainstay of HGTV Canada through his DIY shows, Disaster DIY, and other programs. He was also on Home to Win alongside Scott McGilvery. So this one is a reality show that's following the behind the scenes at his business. His wife, Sarah, is working for him in the company now. So it's kind of the back and forth that goes on in and outside of their business and kind of mixing in their home life as well. So interesting that both of these guys that are superstars on this network, now the cameras are going more into their personal lives. And that's something that's just, that's what the fans want. I mean, they watch these guys and they get to know them, and now they want to see their personal lives. So that's what we're going to see from both of these shows.
Sure. On Monday, next Monday, the 26th, the return of Gangland Undercover.
Yeah, now this is interesting. This is a Canadian original, but it's about an American guy. And he was working for the ATF, I believe, and went undercover into a motorcycle gang. And it's kind of what, you know, everything that goes on behind him infiltrating the gang. And I saw the first couple of episodes of season one and enjoyed it. Melanie Scrofano, who is in season one, she's on Winona Earp now, so she won't be back for the second season that's debuting. But it's kind of one of those shows that's kind of a gray area because it's based on this American guy's life, and yet they have the Canadian production company, they've got the Canadian directors, and enough to get those points to Canadian original.
Well, it sounds like they got more than enough to get the Canadian points. It doesn't take much.
Ooh, you need it. You still need eight. You still need 8 points out of 10.
8 out of 10.
8 out of 10.
All right, there you go. Next Tuesday, the 27th, the debut of Aftermath, which we just talked about with regards to the auction. Now, is this a full series or is it kind of a mini series?
It's a full series. It's a post-apocalyptic series called Aftermath. And James Tupper and Anne Heche, who met on Men in Trees and have been a real-life couple ever since then. It's a post-apocalyptic thriller from Noreen Halperin's Half-Fire Entertainment. And the couple play Joshua and Karen Copeland, who, along with their three teenagers, must battle for survival after civilization comes to an apocalyptic end triggered by devastating natural disasters and the rise, Anthony, of supernatural creatures.
Of course.
And Dennis McGrath is a writer on season one. I believe he wrote one episode of this season. Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. Like, I'm all for the post-apocalyptic
for sure.
Shows.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's been so many of them on lately, and I'm wondering if we've hit peak post-apocalypse at some point, but it still seems to be going. It still seems that two or three shows every season are, you know, something about post-apocalypse anyway.
Yeah. Supernatural's made like the last handful of seasons have all been about that, basically. The battle between good and evil and heaven and hell, and it's still chugging along.
What was the, what's the show that, the show that was set in post-apocalyptic St. Louis, Defiance?
Yes, that's right. That just ended after its third season? Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I watched that show, and for the first couple seasons it was okay, and then the third season I kind of went, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
But it was okay. Anyway, coming back on the 30th, Friday the 30th, the return of You Gotta Eat here. If you're interested in hearing how that show's made at all, you can go back probably close to a year and hear my talk with John Cattucci. We were talking about him making the previous season.
Yeah, that was like literally a year ago that podcast went up. You're right.
Exactly. And at the time, we talked about how do you make the show, and we talked a lot about that. And so if you want to learn about that, even though it's a year old at this point, you can still go back and listen to that and hear about a lot of the stuff and how he kind of got his start and stuff like that. But like I've always said, any time I can't stand food shows, but as soon as you combine them with travel, I'm
good. Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, and you know what you're getting from this show. John Cattucci's traveling around North America, checking out awesome restaurants.
All I would suggest is, and I don't know where you can, it'd be tough to find it. If you go back about, Greg Proops had an amazing 4-minute takedown of Guy Fieri on one of his recent podcasts that was absolutely stunning.
I heard that. Yes, I heard that. It is great.
It is absolutely awesome. If you go and find the Proopcast, Greg Proops Proopcast, it was maybe about 4 or 5 episodes ago. But the trouble is, his podcasts are about an hour and a half long. You'd have to find it somewhere
yeah,
in the middle.
Somewhere buried in the content, yeah.
But it is absolutely fantastic. We'll keep going a couple more days because we'll go up until probably when our next episode is going to be. So W5 returns for its 800th season. On October the 1st, the day that you're going to be having a date with people in Toronto.
Yeah, the biggest shock to me, and I had totally, I think I had somehow known about this, but W5 actually inspired the folks at CBS to create 60 Minutes. So that's how long it's been, or W5 has been around. The biggest news at a W5, not only is that it's back for a record season, is that Kevin Newman has taken over the helm of that show from Lloyd Robertson, who has stepped down. So
I thought you were actually going to say Kevin Nealon.
Kevin Nealon. Yeah, it's a whole new,
it's a whole new approach to W5.
What's he been doing?
I don't know. He was in Weeds for a lot of years.
Oh, okay.
I don't know if you watched Weeds at all.
I did watch Weeds. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, so he was in that, and I don't know what he's been in lately. Maybe, you know what? There's so many cable shows out there now. He's probably in one of them at least.
Yeah.
On Sunday the 2nd, the return of Heartland for its 900th season.
Season 10, excuse me.
Double digits.
And we know that it is the season finale. I think it's been long enough now. Amy announced that she's pregnant. So Amy and Ty are going to be welcoming a baby into their lives for season 10.
The debut of This Is High School on CBC. A big night for CBC on Sunday the 2nd.
Yeah, documentary series. Cameras go behind, go into a high school in Vancouver, and you just see what life is like. I've gotten the first episode. I haven't had a chance to watch it yet. Yeah, they could probably follow you around for one, right? For a season.
Well, that would be difficult considering I'm teaching in a correctional facility which might be its own kind of show.
Exactly.
But that's one of those things where I look at it and I go, really? This is what high school is to them? Anyway. And then the return of This Life, which I'm glad is getting a second season.
Yeah, me too. And interesting, they moved it to a different night. I believe it was on Monday last season. I have seen the first episode. And just great storytelling, family drama. The lead character, she gets the diagnosis that the cancer that was in remission is back. So she's starting to put things in order as she gets ready to possibly end up passing away. And it's how her family and her kids and her brother and her parents are all dealing with this situation.
The first 2 weeks of October are incredibly CBC.
Oh, it's all CBC,
We will talk about most of those in the next episode in a couple of weeks.
Sounds good.
A whole bunch of good stuff coming up. If you're a fan of CBC in the first couple of weeks of October, get your PVR set to record. That's all I'm saying. So we do have a couple of stories to talk about to wind down the episode this week. Yes, we closed the calendar. See, I didn't even have to remind you. I've got you that well trained now. That's amazing.
It is.
Chorus has greenlit the second and third installment of the remake reimagining of Anne of Green Gables with President Bartlett.
Yeah, and when I was posting the story today, I thought that it was the CBC's version because I forgot that there's two versions of Anne of Green Gables that are coming out. Yes. So yes, you're right. President Bartlett is back. Martin Sheen, excuse me, is back playing Matthew Cuthbert. Sarah Botsford returns as Marilla Cuthbert, and Ella Ballantyne is Anne Shirley. Two sequels, L.M. Montgomery's Anne of Green Gables, Good Stars, and L.M. Montgomery's Anne of Green Gables, Fire and Dew, have both begun production and will be on YTV in 2017 and 2018. And for all those people out there that are diehard Anne of Green Gables fans, yes, Matthew did pass away. I think it was in the first book. But obviously, he lives on in this iteration of Anne of Green Gables.
So I don't know if you know this, Greg, but I got a copy. I got a leaked copy of the script for this.
No.
Yes.
Okay.
So here's the basic story. The Fire and Dew.
Oh, no.
So Anne falls in love with a vampire, and she also falls in love with a werewolf at the same time. And while this is all happening, she gets spirited away to an island where she has to fight a bunch of other Prince Edward Island children. Only when the vampire and werewolf can come together on her side to her rescue will she have a chance of surviving the Hunger Games Fire and Dew.
Wow, that sounds good. Yes. I might tune in and watch that.
Yes.
So. What about the other one?
I haven't got the leak on that yet. I think that's about like the red carpet at the Emmy Awards, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay.
I'm just saying. Anyway, so there you go. If you're a fan of Anne of Green Gables. Now, I know that Diane was a huge fan of Anne of Green Gables, and she was not the biggest proponent of this latest reimagining.
Yeah, and that's always tough, right? I mean, you take something that's beloved, whether it's a book series or a television miniseries, and you redo it. You know, we've been seeing it in feature films as we keep seeing these remakes of things. So, she wasn't a fan. I know some people in my family weren't fans of the remake either. But hey,
but the question is, who are they being made for?
Well, they're being made for a new generation.
Are they?
Well, I think so.
Or are they being made for the old generation? Like, that's the question I always have when you remake something like Anne of Green Gables, which is not just a generation past, but like it's actually set many generations past.
Okay, well, part of it is that this is Anne of Green Gables now. It's public domain. So that's why we're seeing it. We're seeing two projects being made. This one.
So what I just, my script I could actually make is what you're saying.
Yes, and you got a script already, so you already know. But
yes.
Lucy Maud Montgomery's granddaughter, Kate McDonald Butler, is the one that's involved with this one. And I know for a fact that she, well, I don't know for a fact. From what I understand, Lucy Maud Montgomery's family was not that thrilled with Kevin Sullivan's interpretation of the books and what he made them into. So I feel like that this is part of the family, or at least certainly Kate McDonald Butler saying, okay, this is what I want the Anne of Green Gables to be, and this is what I think it should have been. So this is the family weighing in on their relations creation. So we'll see.
I wonder if there was like kind of third string character handyman that I could write a series of stories about and call it Stan of Green Gables.
Sure.
I think
Jonathan Torrance tweeted something like that. Man of Green Gables, I think he tweeted out today. Yes.
There you go. So, there could be some Dan of Green Gables.
So many.
Yes, exactly. So there you go, folks. Also coming up, Anna Paquin, who I haven't really—I mean, she was in the X-Men series of films at first, but then most recently she was in True Blood. I can't say most recently because that finished a couple of years ago, but probably well known for True Blood, has got a new series coming up. They've begun production in Montreal.
Yeah, it's called Bellevue. I posted this when CBC made the announcement a few weeks ago, and she's just finished filming Alias Grace. So now she's moved on to this one. Alias Grace was also for CBC, Margaret Atwood's book being turned into a miniseries. So Bellevue, Anna Paquin, Alan Leach, and Sean Doyle, a great Canadian actor from Newfoundland who was in the first season of Fargo. It's 8 episodes, miniseries, going to be winter 2017 on CBC. And it's a mystery set in a small blue-collar town with a lot of good people who live right and take it upon themselves to make sure the neighbors do too. Anna Paquin plays Detective Annie Ryder, a cop whose intense and brazen personality has always been at odds with her hometown. And when a transgender teen goes missing, Annie dives in to unravel the disappearance that suggests foul play, despite finding herself in a difficult position as she must cast suspicion on people she has known all of her life. So it's not a difficult yoga position.
Wow. So it's downward facing dog,
right,
is what you're saying.
That's right.
It's a cop show.
It is a cop show.
I like how they describe. I like it, the 8x60 series.
8x60, absolutely.
Wow, that's pretty sweet. I want those to be. I want those to be common now. I want the 22x30 for the U.S. sitcoms. And
hey, speaking of CBC, you know what they're not using anymore on any of their press releases?
Place for a
song. I'm gonna have to ask them about that.
Yeah, you know what? When you go to when you go to do the thing on October 1st,
the Murdoch Mysteries.
When you do all four panels, open all four of them with saying, "I'd like to welcome you all to a place for us all."
It's a space for us all.
Oh, a space for us all. There, well, you go. Even better.
Yeah, because we'll be in the atrium, which is there's space for us all, except the people that couldn't get tickets.
This is hashtag a space for us all.
Oh, I want to keep this gig. I don't want to ruin it. CBC, if you're listening, we're just joking.
Yes. Production is also underway for Food Network Canada's new series, Chuck and Danny's Road Trip.
Yeah, you know, we were talking about Guy Fieri just a few minutes ago, and this will end up being the Guy Fieri, the Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives.
Oh, God, let's hope not.
Force 4 Entertainment.
They're going to bust out some chimichangas, which are off the chain.
Flavortown. Force 4 Entertainment and Chorus. Principal photography is underway on Chuck and Danny's Road Trip. It stars Chuck Hughes from Chuck's Day Off. He also owns Garde Manger in Old Montreal. And Danny Smiles, who worked as a sous chef at Garde Manger and then went off to compete in Top Chef Canada. It's a 6-part series, and the two of them, they're best chefs and best buddies. They're going to hit the road in an RV and feast their way across some of the nation's most spectacular regions, sourcing the freshest ingredients and creating memorable meals with celebrated local chefs and food experts from Salt Spring Island, BC to Prince Edward Island. Ah, so see, they're going to be in an RV and they're going to be going to different communities and they're going to be cooking with people. So that it will not be like Diners, Drive-Ins, and Dives because they're going to be creating their own original stuff. Now, Chuck Hughes has done this before. He did a series for Food Network where he went down to Mexico and was learning how to make fresh and original Mexican dishes. So this is kind of, this is in his wheelhouse for sure.
So this is one of those things where, even though I just said, like no more than a couple minutes ago, that you combine food with like, a travel thing, that I'm into it. It depends. See, this really depends to me, because if they hit the road in an RV, if the focus is on like really granular basis, like making these dishes, I'm not going to be interested.
Right.
But like if it's parsed it down to where it's like, all right, so you're making this, we throw in this, that's what I want to see. Right.
Yeah. That's
I like the time. I like the time lapse version of the cooking part.
Right. And they do have quotes around the term bro trip. So maybe that's what it's going to be. The more focus on the bro trip.
Uh huh. That's a bro trip, all right. I don't know what the heck. Anyway, there you go. The last thing we're going to talk about this week, Aftermath. We mentioned it a couple different times, but it is premiering on Space. We just want to go a little bit more in depth. It's a 13-episode series, as so many are these days.
Mm-hmm.
1 hour, 13 episodes. follows their family struggles through a possible Armageddon.
Yes.
Wow, a possible Armageddon.
Possible.
By the way, that was the title of my third poetry book, by the way, A Possible Armageddon.
Possible Armageddon.
Just saying.
Shot in Vancouver. Yes. Space and Sci-Fi are it's a co-production between the two of them, or it's in association with the two of them. August the 27th. And yeah, I mean, I'm into it. I'm into checking this out.
All I can say is this. At some point, some show, some post-apocalyptic Armageddon-like kind of show, they need to run into a haggard wilderness guy played by Sam Elliott.
Okay. They better get on that.
Yeah, I think so.
Sooner rather than later.
I understand what you're saying. Like it has to be totally understated performance by Sam Elliott.
Yeah, that's right.
If you want to follow me over this way.
Follow me if you want to live. Oh, wait, that's
just
a different thing.
Like zombies coming at him from all angles, and he's like hardly breaking a sweat, just like killing 16 of them.
Hey, he did it in Roadhouse. He broke a little bit of a sweat in Roadhouse, but yes, I agree.
Oh, exactly. So there you go, folks. There's your stories for the next couple of weeks. If you're listening to it over the next couple of weeks, you can sit back and relax now and think, I have not missed a single thing that is upcoming.
That's right.
And if someone tells you otherwise, well, you know what you can tell them. Tell them that they can go out on a date with Greg.
Ugh.
Because you know what? When you get together with Greg at the CBC, it'll be a space for us all.
It will.
Indeed. Folks, we haven't mentioned this for a while, and probably there's a reason why there's a problem with this. But if you go to our Patreon page, where we're losing patrons at an alarming rate.
What's happening?
The last,
they not like me?
I have no idea. But anyway, we keep forgetting to mention it. The way that you can support the podcast, if you like us here talking every week about Canadian television, when I say every week, every other week, there's another podcast that gets done called TV ABCs, where we have long form conversations with people involved in Canadian television. If you want to support that and you think to yourself, you may say to yourself, I wouldn't pay like $800 a week to listen to that. We're not asking you to. We're just saying if you want to kick us like a buck an episode or a couple bucks a month, go to patreon.com/TV_EH. So patreon.com/TV_EH. And you know what? It just helps. Greg knows as well as I do. When you're running a website that gets, we're not saying we get Google-like hits on it, but it's a substantial enough website. You have to pay for web space. You have to pay for servers. You have to pay for all of that stuff. You have to pay for hosting for this podcast. It helps to defer some of the expenses. Let's just put it that way.
Yes.
So please feel free to go to patreon.com/TV_EH. Click on Become a Patron and just join us. Join us. Be part. And we'll mention you on the podcast.
We will.
In fact, just to support that, let me see who are our current patrons. I'm trying to see who do we have here. I can't click on the patrons right now. It's because I'm not signed in.
Okay, let me see if I can get them here.
I was going to mention our patrons.
Why can't I get our patrons either? Oh, here we go. You can tell we do all kinds of prep beforehand, don't we?
Okay. Well, that's why you should support us.
So exactly. we've got Dennis McGrath.
Yes.
Joyce David.
Yes.
Bram Abramson. Robert mm-hmm. Carnell.
Yes.
Maya Levo. Suzanne Kepler. Jeff Biederman. Dave Broadbeck. And Christopher A. Butler.
There you go. If you would like to join those people who we have severely been neglecting lately, please, give us the inspiration to come back and make you part of our Patreon family. Hang on, maybe if I do this, give us the inspiration to come back and join us and help make us part of your Patreon family.
I think that did it. That's good.
I think so. Greg, where can people find you when you're not kicking around here every couple of weeks?
I'm running the TVA website, which is tv-eh.com. Again, check out the auction. I'm also on Twitter at the TVA Twitter account, which is at TV_EH, and my own personal Twitter account, which is at Greg_David. Anthony, how about you?
You can find all of my podcasts at anthonymarco.com and find me on Twitter at Anthony Marco. And like I said, feel free to get in touch. Go to the TVA auction. Do that within the next couple of weeks. What we can do on the next episode is report on maybe some of the lucky people who have won.
Yes.
And how much money that we have raised, which would be a good thing.
Sounds good.
Exactly. Sweet mouthfeel and the fleshy palate.
Mm.
That wraps up another episode for this week. And now back to your regularly scheduled programming.